Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Mr. Hamilton's going to join us. Hang on a second. Brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda, relax, we got this. Paul, good morning. I have to check this. I want to say it was the shot blocker from Bana, Oshinee. I think he transferred to Iowa State.
Yes,
right?
Oshinee.
I butchered his name the whole time he was at Bana. Anyway, Paul, your Iowa State guys, they're getting a heck of a player.
Actually, two of the Bonnies have transferred to Iowa State. I'm trying to think of the second guy.
I believe Jaron Holmes.
Ah, okay. Now Iowa State's just stealing players from Bana, so we don't like the Cyclones anymore. Good morning, Mr. Hamilton. Thanks for hanging out with us, by the way.
How are you?
Good, good. So you were in Rochester last night. Sounds like it was a great crowd for the game.
Or sellout. It was... I can't remember the last time I was there for a sellout. Marty might have been playing. it was definitely the 90s when I used to do some play-by-play for them.
Yeah.
And the fans, of course, were into it, and it was great. And refereeing, you think refereeing in the NHL and the NFL's bad?
Yeah.
Go to get a steady diet of AHL refereeing. So they were on the refs like, right on the puck drop, and they were loud and didn't do it, and you could just see how the Amherst were responding to that. They love that. A guy like Krebs gets so excited about things. I mean, when he makes the pass for a couple of goals, I mean, he's jumping in the air and he really enjoys large crowds. And remember the couple of large crowds Buffalo had? I think he did very well in those games too. He just seems to love it when and plays his best hockey when they have big crowds around.
So it sounded like Paterka was having himself a day yesterday.
Well, yeah, he's having himself a series. I mean, it was a really nice pass because Seth Appert has been dressing 7D and 11 forward, so that gives a couple of guys a chance to double shift. So Paterka very often would go out with the two extra guys, McInnes and Rusick, and Ristolainen does too. And that's when he just made a real pretty play. They got the Amherst, a really, really nice goal. McInnes hits him in front of the net, and he doesn't even look at Rusick. He's just, he's got his back to him, and he just knows he's there, and just a nice, cute pass between the legs, with his back to him, and basically sets him up with 3/4 of an open net for Rusick's goal. So, that was a nice setup that he had. And the game before that the Amherst tied the series, he had the overtime goal. And he now has 4 goals and 4 assists in 5 playoff games for 8 points.
I remember, when we talked to you about Paterka going back to the preseason, and you had talked about how, you could see the offensive skill, but he was trying to do too much, and obviously there were things he had to learn in his game. What do you see in the J.J. Paterka you see now compared to the guy you saw earlier this this season? Because I think, Paul, a lot of Sabre fans are expecting him to be here next season.
Seth Appert was very clear on it. He goes, it's absolutely his defensive play. His defensive play is what he's improved on the most, and it's led to offense for him. He said Michael Pekka has been working with him, and you know, and Michael Pekka is probably one of the best two-way forwards that's ever played for the Buffalo Sabres, and you know, has really been working on his defense and showing him the way, showing him that, you know what, if you become a decent two-way player, your offense is going to open up for you. You know, by playing good defense and getting back like that, you're going to find that you're going to get the puck back quicker and you're going to be on the attack. And apparently that's, you know, something that Paterka has really been working on. And you know, his defense has led to good transition offense for him. But Seth Appert, he didn't even hesitate when he was asked about, you know, where the improvement has come in this kid. And he said, without question, it's been his defensive play, which has led to good offense the other way.
Another player who's having a whale of a playoff so far is Arttu Ruotsalainen. And when you were on the other day with us talking about him, so he's a restricted free agent, right? It sounded like you were saying there might not be a place for him here next season. Is it possible the Sabres are changing their mind?
Yeah. I, you know, you just wonder, because that report had come out that he was going to play in Switzerland next year. He's on an expiring contract, and he denied the report, but you have to remember, too, he can't say it's true. He's under contract.
Yeah.
You know, so he can't, oh, yeah, I'm going to go play in Switzerland next year. So, you know, you have to kind of take that with a grain of salt. And then next thing you know, Power shows up, and he's got Ruotsalainen's number. It's like, well, all right. It's not like Dave Andrechuk showed up and wanted number 25, and the rookie says, okay, here, Dave, here's your number back. You know, it was like a rookie showed up, and next thing, all right, he's got Ruotsalainen's number. But, and it started not just in the playoffs, because you mentioned, I mean, he's got 6 goals and 2 assists in the playoffs. In overtime, he's got 2 goals and an assist this year. In overtime alone in the playoffs, he started it up in the regular season. I would say probably the last month and a half, he has just been red hot. It was something like, I had looked it up probably 3 or 4 playoff games ago. He had something like 21 points in 16 games or something. It was something like that.
Yeah.
And so then I thought to myself, well, if it's true that the Amerks maybe had thought, you know what, we're going to move on, has this last month and a half changed things? And I've been talking to people who see the Amerks on a regular basis, and one of the things they talked about with him is, like, he finally figured out the North American game. It took him a while to do it, but and it's been a direct correlation why he's been producing, because, you know, the North American game is now becoming clearer for him. I don't know if I want to use the word easy. I don't know if I want to say it's been easy for him now. But he's figured it out. You know, it's not bigger ice surfaces anymore. It's the smaller ice surface, and you don't have as much time to execute what you'd like to execute. And so, yeah, that's a good question. If indeed the Amerks or the Sabres had decided they were going to move on for him, has the last month and a half just made them, wait a minute. You know, maybe here's the guy that we thought we were getting when we signed him a couple of years ago.
Paul, when it comes to these guys, you know, it's a playoff run for Rochester. I wonder if there's any feeling of the Amerks should enjoy this while they can, because they're going to lose some guys, right? What's the total number you think that end up with the Sabres next year for, we can even say more than half the season, not necessarily like make the roster out of training camp, but how many guys are going to be up here? Paterka, Quinn, of course, Krebs and Samuelson. Does it end there? I mean, could anybody else make the list?
You can just tell the difference in Fitzgerald on the AHL level because of the 30 or so odd games he played in the NHL. He's a different AHL player, much more confident. Not that he wasn't a good AHL player before. That's what got him the promotion to Buffalo, is he was a good AHL player. But I think he's even better now with the confidence he has. And his offense has really come through in these playoffs too, which maybe wasn't necessarily happening, you know, when he was in Rochester before. I mean, he's got a goal and three assists for 4 points in five games, you know, so it's not just the defensive part of it, but, you know, the offensive part of it too. He's not afraid anymore to get up in that rush and be up there in on it. So I would think him. Paterka is interesting because I look at the Sabres lineup, and I think Quinn, even though Quinn has really, really struggled in these playoffs.
He seems to be like the only player we don't hear much about.
Yeah, he got his first point in game two on the overtime goal by Paterka. He got an assist. That was his first point. He did score last night. Unfortunately, it was in his own net.
That's quite a turn. Quite a turn of a phrase there, Paul. That is very different.
I think you missed the lead there, Paul. You buried the lead.
I felt bad for him because there was a scramble, and in the middle of the schmozzle, the puck is just sitting in the crease, and nobody sees it. They're all still, you know, around Dell, and scrambling at the puck and like sticking their sticks underneath him, trying to push him in the net. And the puck had squirted off to his left a little bit. Quinn had no idea it was there. It looked like he almost stepped on the puck and kicked it in the net. He had no idea the puck was there and wound up kicking it in the net for Utica. So it's been a struggle. I know Belleville, you know, they put a guy who didn't even deserve to be in the American Hockey League. Belleville, they believe in to play hockey, you have to beat the tar out of everybody. So they had this goony guy that looked like he was straight out of Slapshot chasing him around the rink the whole time. He's big. You know, he's every time there's a face-off, he's in his face yakking at him. He's hitting him. He's slapping him. He's, you know, slashing him. And he made it, you know, miserable for Quinn to try to play through that series. But it just didn't start then. It was right down the stretch, too, that he was having trouble scoring. And because things got tighter, because every game was a playoff game with that group of teams that were all just bunched together and they're playing each other to try to get into the playoffs. And it's been a good learning experience, I think, for Jack Quinn. I mean, it's one of those things. I think Jack Quinn's going to get stronger. I mean, his body is not where it's going to end up at, you know, and I think that's something he'll work on in the off season, is trying to get stronger so he can play through this, because Krebs has been able to play through it. Paterka has been able to play through it. It's been a problem for Quinn, and now they got him out there with a couple of veterans, you know, to try to, you know, get him going that way and get a couple of good veterans like Michael Mersch, who's their captain, with him, Malone, who is a good veteran player for him. And he did at least look like he was perking up a little bit in this last game yesterday. He had a couple of good chances, and one he put over the top of the net. But he looked a little bit more like what you were expecting from Jack Quinn. But when you look at guys on the Sabres, I got long-winded because I started talking about Jack. I still think Jack Quinn probably is ahead of Paterka as far as being on the Sabres. And I know this is going to sound goofy with as well as Paterka's playing, but I don't see room for them both right now, because neither – if you're going to put either one of them in the bottom six, there's no point having them here. I mean, to me, they're both top six players, and there's not you know, Gergensen's and Oposo, they're very good players, but I just don't see why you would put, like, Paterka on a line with those two. You know, I think in order for him to excel, he needs to be out there in the top six, and right now I don't see a spot in the top six for both of them unless they were to trade Olofsson or something, because Olofsson really became a top six player in the second half of the season this year, which I wasn't looking at him as a top six type of a guy, 5-on-5, but he really improved his 5-on-5 play as the season went on. So one of those two might start in Rochester, with the thought if one of the top six guys gets hurt, he gets called up and he's into the top six, because I just to have him on the team and playing in a bottom six role, I don't see that helping either player.
Paul, how about the NHL playoffs? I've got a couple of questions, but what sits top of mind for you? Toronto out again?
Yeah, but I
feel bad for him, right? Like they.
No, I don't feel bad for him, but I also don't think it would be wise to blow the whole thing up either. You know, I realize they haven't, but I think you also have to take a look at the playoff format that the National Hockey League has. It's not like the NBA where, you know, if you're a good team, you're probably going to get an opening series against a bad team. That's not the way the NHL does it. So Toronto's always going up against one of the top teams in the National Hockey League in the first round. And I know they haven't been able to get over the hump. Where I would be looking for that team is I'm still – Campbell wasn't awful in that series, to be quite honest with you, but I might be looking to upgrade my goaltending. I definitely would be looking to upgrade my defense, you know, I wouldn't gut the team, but I might be looking to trade one of my better forwards for a really good defenseman, you know, and you know, look at it that way. But I wouldn't be thinking, well, all right, Matthews, Marner, they're not getting it done. That's it. Let's get rid of them. Let's start it all over again. Let's just, you know, firebomb this whole thing. I don't know. I don't know if that's the thing to do.
How about going forward? You know, after watching, Howard and I were joking during one of the breaks here, after watching the Rangers knock out Crosby, then win games 5, 6, and 7, and seeing the numbers McDavid's putting up, shouldn't Calgary just put an elbow into McDavid's head and just try to advance to the next round? Like, we know the player that does it will be suspended for one game, if that. Yeah, it's obviously, it's a tale as old as time with the NHL, but the Battle of Alberta, you like that one the most? Which matchup in the second round do you like the most?
Well, Calgary in the regular season scored a lot of goals and didn't play this defensive style, but against Dallas, it was... Now, it wasn't in that last game. Calgary, you know, they even before overtime, I think they had over 50 shots. And it almost was embarrassing to Dallas in the overtime. They just hung Ottinger out. I mean, it was all Calgary. Dallas couldn't even get out of the zone. It was shot after shot after shot after shot. Ottinger was just putting on one of the best goaltending performances you're ever going to see in the playoffs. And, you know, and it was one of those things I was thinking, Dallas is going to win this game, and they had no business even being in this series, yet winning the series. You know, something goofy is going to happen here, and they're going to wind up with a breakaway or something and wind up winning the game. But Calgary really, put it on them. With Edmonton, maybe Calgary, will play a little bit more offensive than they did against the Dallas Stars, but I think Calgary also is going to be able to cut off Dreisaitl and cut off McDavid. I don't think they're going to hurt them as badly as maybe they're capable of doing against some other teams, because Calgary, first of all, they have Markstrom has been phenomenal in goal all year long. And, you know, they can play both offense and defense. They have a team that basically can play it any way you want to play it, you know. And, Dallas wanted to play a good, tough defensive style. Calgary can do that. But they also have the guys can put the puck in the net and had over 100 points this year and can do that. So, honestly, I think Calgary should be able to, even with McDavid in the lineup, I'm thinking around 6 games.
Final thing for me, of the teams that are left, Jeremy and I were talking about this a little bit earlier as well. From the standpoint of you as a hockey fan, what do you think would be the most enjoyable matchup? Is there a particular final you would like to see?
I'd like to see Colorado for sure come out of the West.
Florida.
Carolina.
I was thinking Carolina.
Very good.
My mind was bouncing between both those teams, and for some reason Carolina was more in my head than Florida was for that. So Carolina and Florida both, I think, can get in trouble in goal. They didn't in the last round, which surprised me a little bit, but they both can get a little goofy in goal. But I don't know. I agree with Jeremy. I think Carolina might be the team I'd be looking for if I think would be a good series for the finals.
It hurts to say it, Paul, but of all the, you know, we've seen playoff hockey, we see electric buildings, Calgary, Edmonton. even Carolina, watching that series against Boston, it was insane in that building and made me pine for playoff hockey, being, you know, considering I did watch a game in that building that that they won. It was sad that they
who
won.
Was that? That.
Even in the regular season, you know, Mike Maniscalco, who's their play-by-play guy, used to work at WGR. And one of the things I want to ask him is, when did it change? Because when the Sabres were down there for the Eastern Conference Finals, they were begging the Carolina fans not to sell their tickets to Sabre fans. Begging them not to. You know, because first of all, in Carolina, they think the Sabre fans are the most obnoxious fans that ever have walked into the building.
They think that in Columbus, too. Yeah. We've taken over a couple of places.
Yeah. And, you know, and even then, you walk into a regular season game in Carolina, yeah, and it looked like what the Sabres are experiencing now. And, you know, but it changed. And now people are there for regular season games, and it's loud and it's crazy. And it's even worse on the opponent for the playoffs, where, you know, Domi was saying this is one of the loudest buildings I've ever been in. So I'm just wondering when that change took place, where now they get phenomenal fan support all the time, not just, well, they're a winning team, so we're going to go support them. And maybe that's been the change.
Yeah. You know, what?
Since Brind'Amour's been the coach, they've been a pretty exciting team to watch. And maybe that's been the change. It's like, you know what? They win all the time, and we want to go support them. But they didn't really do it until the end of the Stanley Cup run, when they won the Cup the first time.
Maybe it's the storm surge, you know? They got really – seriously, they started
– well, they're fun.
They started playing fun.
Yeah, right.
On the ice, after games, the hockey establishment got mad at them, right? Called them a bunch of jerks. So, I don't know. Maybe that's it.
But, yeah, the fans went to the game and they had fun.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, you know, a little bit like what Sabre fans were experiencing at the end of the year. It was like, you know, wait a minute. This is kind of fun to watch this team. Maybe I'll come back. You know, I'm here for RJ night, or I'm here to boo Eichel, or I'm here for whatever reason you went there. But it wasn't necessarily to go see the team. And they saw the team and thought, these guys are fun, you know.
Fun.
Krebs really is into this thing. I enjoy watching him play. By the way, we didn't mention him. He's got 8 assists in 5 games. Wow. He has no goals and 8 assists. The play he made on the overtime goal to Ristolainen was another just – he sees things before it even happens, and he's been having a great series. But, he you know, just the fun that they're having out on the ice, and I think fans started to relate to that. – Because what you were seeing it is up in the 300 level. I think fans were like, okay, maybe I'd like to come see another game in April, but you know what? I don't want to spend a huge amount of money, so I'll go sit in the 300 level.
Yeah, right.
You know, and go watch another game, because that's where I was really noticing is the crowds were starting to get a little bit bigger. It was up in the 300 level.
All right, Mr. Hamilton, good stuff as always. This won't be the last time we're in touch with you, so don't leave town.
I wasn't planning on leaving town, but I didn't know you were trying to get rid of me.
No,
but
that outstanding warrant. I wasn't supposed to say that on the air.
I thought you were trying to get me a job with the Mets or something, and you were trying to get me, run me out of town or something.
We have standards with the Mets. I'm sorry, you would not be. you're not the kind of person we're looking for.
I remember I sent you my turndown letter from the Mets before their current play-by-play guy got the job.
I'm super late. I'd love to continue this conversation with you, but.
They turned me down.
Smart people.
At least they sent you a letter.
That's right.
Yeah, they did.
Love you, Paul.
Take care.
All right. Paul brought to us by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. By Relax Honda. Relax. We got this quick note. Garth Brooks fans. This has come down this morning. Out of respect, Garth Brooks has decided to postpone the Buffalo On Sale, was scheduled for this Friday. The concert will still take place as scheduled in July 23rd at Highmark Stadium. A new on-sale date for tickets will be announced in the coming weeks. 803-0550 to join us this morning, WGR.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in the know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I mean, football is football. I mean, I was just so excited to be out there because if I was in college, I probably would have been done with spring already. You know, I was super excited to be out there, try to fly around, have fun, and motivate my teammates, push my teammates, and just keep continuing to get better.
It's Bills rookie corner, Kair Elam, on rookie camp. Hey, Drew Brees made a joke about coming back to football.
I saw that. But that was among like 10 different things he mentioned he might be doing.
Yeah, and Dennis
Allen. He talked about
Allen,
training for pickleball.
Dennis Allen, coach of the Saints, says, I think the comment was made in jest about Brees maybe coming back to football.
He's not coming back, right?
I hope not. He didn't look as bad as Roethlisberger, but there are plenty that he doesn't have it anymore. And then he took a year off.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I would be surprised if he came back. Yeah, I would think the joke, that was a joke. I mean, there was a whole bunch of stuff in there about coaching his kids and, I don't know, a bunch of different things he said. I would not expect to see Drew Brees announce he's unretiring like Tom Brady.
Yeah, the quote was, despite speculation from media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all the above. I'll let you know. As an analyst, how'd you like him?
Meh.
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing special. Just another guy.
He's probably trying to find out if he can get $12 million a year, right? Like,
or 20.
Well, the other guy's getting 20. He's like, listen, I realize I'm not as good as them. Can I just have $12 million a year?
It's a sliding scale. If Brady's worth $37 million a year, how much is Brees worth? Is he between Romo and Brady? Yeah, I thought, I mean, like I said, I just thought whether I heard him do some game work and then studio work, and it was just meh, so-so. But I wouldn't think he's coming back to play. I would doubt it. I would be surprised to see him come back to play. I was going to say something, and I don't remember about football. Whatever, doesn't matter. So I got some funny schedule quirks for you. Ready?
Is the Patriots quirk in there?
There is a Patriots quirk, but I don't know if it's... Okay, I'll mention what it is. You have one that you saw?
Yes, the Patriots play Monday night in Arizona
And
then Sunday in Vegas. So they have two West Coast games, basically, West Coast, in the span of 6 days.
Ooh, with a short week, yeah, that's odd.
A lot of times teams will stay out there if it's 7 days. If it's six,
he's staying out there.
They'll definitely stay out there.
They've done that before.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick has definitely stayed out west before with back-to-back games with a Monday night game. It doesn't make any sense to come back at the crack of dawn on Tuesday and get back on a plane on Saturday and fly back west again. So I would think they would stay out there. No, I saw Jason LaConfora had a piece with some of the schedule quirks. I brought up one this morning in the over-under discussion we were having. I wanted to bring that up, too. The Bears, by the way, the Bears do not play a road game in the month of December. They have three home games. One is against the Bills, by the way. And they have their bye. So no road games for the Bears in the month of December. The Chiefs, we mentioned this earlier. Jeremy said, hey, let's do a little over-unders. We'll talk about teams. Who do you like for an over? Who do you like for an under? And I said for under, Kansas City, 10.5 wins. Take the under. The Chiefs are the first team in NFL history. Bonus stat of the day. Chiefs are the first team in NFL history to open a season with 8 straight games against teams that finished over 500 the previous season. That is from Elias Sports Bureau. They are going with, here's their first 8 games. At Cards, home Chargers, at Colts, at Bucks, Raiders, Bills, Niners, by Titans. I'm telling you, that is the worst schedule in the league, and you should take the under. The Jets, they're going to start by playing their first 4 games of the season against the AFC North. The Ravens, first 4 games of the season, are against the AFC East. Here's one we saw last year. It was in the NFC East. I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was involving Dallas. Doesn't matter. The Commanders are going to play the Giants in back-to-back games. There's a bye week in the middle for Washington, but they play Giants in week 13, bye in week 14, Giants in week 15.
That's what the...
Why would you schedule back-to-back division games for anybody? And they did it last year in the NFC
Browns East. Ravens.
Or was it Browns Ravens? Yeah. I thought it happened in the East. It was Browns Ravens. Same thing. Play them, bye, play them again.
That's 2 years in a row.
Why? The computer doesn't catch that?
Well, the computer probably does, and the people probably catch it. The reason that that happens is because the league is really in love with keeping their division games late in the year.
And I get it.
So late.
The Bills have, what, 4 division games in their final, I think, 6 or 7 games. So I understand that. But not back-to-back. It's not for both teams. It's for Washington because of the bye. The Giants will play another game. But even still, you shouldn't play, never see a division rival until week 13, and then play them 2 times in 3 weeks. I don't like what they did with the Patriots again, not seeing them until December, and then 2 times in the final 6 games. 3 teams have 2 road games to start the year. New England is one of them. Colts and Bucks are the other. The Bills are one of 7 teams will not play a single opponent coming off their bye week. So that's good for Buffalo. And last thing I want to bring up, the AFC West. We've all talked about how stacked the AFC West looks, right? The 4 AFC West teams are scheduled to make a total of 19 primetime games without flexes, 19 night games, tied for the second most for any division in the Super Bowl era. So the AFC West got a lot of games that we thought would be put in primetime because everybody's expecting it to be the best division in football. NFC East in 2015 is the only other division to have more night games scheduled than this year's AFC West. So a little nugget or two for your lunchtime discussions at work today, you know?
So tonight, nothing. No basketball, no hockey.
Everybody's quiet.
Got baseball.
Mets are playing the Cards, I think, if you want to watch that.
Yeah. You've got, other than that, it's a baseball night. It's kind of quiet. Arsenal and Newcastle, 3 o'clock today.
You'll be busy.
I'll watch that. Yep. Watch the kids. Watch that. Watch that with the kids. Teach them.
Teach them the game of golf?
Arsenal.
Or soccer. I was thinking about golf because I was thinking to mention the PGA Championship.
Yeah.
You're going to get them? They have Arsenal kits yet?
They have some Arsenal.
I assume there are baby kits available.
Yeah, they just have like hand-me-down pants and stuff like that. We got a couple different things. But
start them young.
Big one today for Arsenal. Could really use it.
Now, you know, we should someday get into the discussion of you and your role as a sports dad.
Yes.
Whether you raise your kids to like the teams you like, even though some cause you heartache, or you let them be a free agent and make their own choice when they so desire.
Yeah, it's probably...
Like if one of them comes to you and says, Dad, I want to root for New England Patriots.
Well, that's the thing. That probably was something you had to deal with when the Bills were bad and the Patriots were good.
Yeah, now it's...
Now, why would the kid do it? You know, kids like teams that win. And if the local team stinks, this is the Sabres. There's a generation of Penguins fans in town, right? Because why would I watch the Sabres? The Penguins are always on TV and Sidney Crosby's really good.
Yep.
So, you know, like... I don't think the Bills will have a problem with that.
No. And your kids are growing up at a good time to be Sabre fans. It looks
maybe.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. So it's Arsenal, I guess. You got to figure out whether you want to be Syracuse, Arsenal, your other teams. That's what you have to figure out. Extendo Sports coming up just a moment. And top of the hour, the Extra Point Show with Sal and Joe on WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
We were mentioning donations and where to go to help folks from the shooting on Saturday. Thurman Thomas. Like I think Thurman, when you say Thurman around here, everybody knows who we're talking about. Anyway, Thurman Thomas also has a way for you to help out, taking donations through his foundation, the Thurman Thomas Family Foundation. And Thurman just tweeted out they had received a $35,000 match, so $70,000 raised there. Anyway, if you go to give.thurmanthomas.com, it will take you to a link, and you can choose an amount that you can donate to the foundation. And it says Thurman Thomas Family Foundation is committing to donating $10,000 to the efforts that will directly impact the families and the victims and the surrounding community. And they are underway, and they're raising some money for this cause. So if you'd like to help out there, you can. Give.thurmanthomas.com.
Happy birthday, Thurman.
Let me think. How old would Thurman be? Let's see. He got out. When did he graduate? Taken in the 88 draft? So 20, 40, he's going to be like, I don't know, that's too many numbers. I can't do it.
Come on, come on, I want you to get.
All right, hold on, give me a second, yeah. I cannot, there's pressure.
I felt like you were, there was no pressure.
No,
I
thought, the clock is ticking.
I thought you were just going to do it.
I am. All right, so he didn't probably play as a senior, right? So let's say he left at like 21. He's been out of college for 56.
Bam.
Yeah.
That's right.
Suck it.
Whoa!
Oh,
easy,
sorry.
Easy.
That was a little too
easy.
It's a little too much.
Yeah.
Sexometer. No, I didn't. No. Sorry.
56.
Jeremy's blushing.
56
hey,
years old.
Hey, happy birthday, Thurman.
Yeah.
Thurman's the man.
Yes, he is.
One of the joys of my life was watching that man play football. You know, we talk about, you know, people always think, oh, you guys are so lucky. You get paid to watch games and talk about sports. Mostly, yes, but it can be difficult and stressful at times. But then I look at, like, people I got to watch for free. He's on, right at the top. Kelly, Thurman, Bruce.
Josh Allen is on that list now.
Oh, my God, he's so much fun.
So fun to watch. Yep.
Every time I see a highlight, sadly, the 13 seconds game was on this morning in the newsroom on one of the monitors. It was late fourth quarter. I couldn't. I looked up. I told Zach there was a fourth and four. They would have been down 31-26.
Yep.
Fourth and four. He scrambled for the first down to keep the drive going. And I'm like, I want to watch because he's about to make some great plays. I couldn't bring myself to watching the game.
I was going to make a crack earlier, but I didn't, and I'll make it now. Sal was talking about McDermott was at the thing, and he was,
the charity softball game.
Yeah,
he threw out the first pitch.
He was in a good mood. Yeah. He was cracking jokes.
He was joking with the media the other day like crazy.
It's because it's the first time he'd been anywhere, and nobody asked him about 13 seconds, right?
It did not come up.
He's been asked everywhere. And after 10 minutes, he probably realized, nobody's going to. All right.
He was really funny.
Let's just have a Sunday afternoon here, you know?
He was talking to the media like, hey, we got a few roster spots open. Sal, what you want to play corner?
Yeah.
And they're all like, hi, this is like a little playful side of Sean McDermott that obviously you wouldn't see during the season because he's all focused and everything. But he was joshing around with the media. It was kind of entertaining, really. He was also like trying to, like, you could tell, like, John Worrell from Associated Press must be doing a feature on Punt God. So he's trying to ask about him. Like, it was, and McDermott's like, dude, settle down. He doesn't punt the ball to Mars. I mean, it was, I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say that. But he was funny. Yeah, it was just, it was nice to see that side of Sean McDermott. You don't really see it that often.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, so we're done. Hey, if you care, if you're looking for a live sporting event, Canada is playing Slovakia right now in the World Championship.
Oh,
so Dylan Cousins is playing.
Question.
Yeah.
I even Googled it. I didn't know how to find it. What the heck is that logo in the middle of the ice?
I don't know.
It's always seen it a few, at the international, yeah, these tournaments. I never know what it is. I even searched weird green logo. What is it? What does it represent? What is it for? Is it a company? Is it an advertisement?
It's at other international events.
It's often at the World Championships.
So it's an IIHF logo, I assume?
But no. I've been trying to find it.
I can't believe you
can't
find it.
What in the world is it?
Take a picture, post it on Twitter.
Somebody will hear this and find it for us, and we can talk about it tomorrow, because it's got to be like a gas company.
Oh, a sponsorship thing? That would be depressing if it's a sponsorship.
I don't know
it's
what else
right
it could be.
It's center ice. The international sign for shoot on the power play. I don't know.
It wouldn't be that depressing if it's a company.
You don't need a sponsor thing right at center ice. It's the largest logo.
Plenty of these leagues are sponsored. You know, like the Barclays Premier League and the Nextel Cup.
And that's okay, but I'm not saying splashed at center ice, I don't need it.
Want to hear a hot take? Have you seen the commercials, the Stanley Cup playoff commercials, where they make the cup vanish out of people's hands? Have you seen these ones
yet? I don't
know
if I've seen that one.
And like, what would it be without the cup? Would it all be as good? Would it all take? And that, you know, it's a commercial for the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah.
I think it hits the wrong note. If the cup didn't exist, they'd still have playoffs. It'd still be a tournament. We wouldn't have the cup that we
won. What would you hand to the captain of the winning team?
Something else. You'd still have championships. At least not like the NBA people that win the title are less happy because it's not the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So I think it actually hits the wrong note with the champagne. Taste is sweet. Yeah. Yeah. The cup's a nice story. It's great. It's the greatest trophy. But you'd still be really happy.
I feel like you'd celebrate.
You'd be really excited.
Because you would have won the
trophy. You won the championship.
Yeah, you would have. You'd be still pretty happy about it.
Okay, perfect. Brayton texted. He's going to have the answer to what this is.
Of course Brayton knows it.
It's an auto company. Skoda Auto.
Yeah, I don't like that.
All right.
Just put him somewhere else on the ice.
One of the world's oldest car makers. Goes back to 1895.
Bye.
I won't
Hit
do
the
it.
Break.
I won't do it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.